Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Being a parent can be really challenging. Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Neve Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerald Farrelly.
And you're listening to
Hello.
Hi, Grove.
How are you?
Well, I am a little bit tired and emotional because I was out very late last night.
Neve was partying.
I fell into Neve very bad company.
Has finally, she's been partying. Like, I mean, you were never a party girl, Neve. I'm thrilled.
That's unfair. I am a party girl, but I have to
mind. No, but you're not. You care for your instruments.
I do. And I don't drink alcohol, which always surprises people. I don't drink very much. Well, let me amend that.
Absolutely,
I don't drink alcohol.
No crack.
Often.
No crack.
That's not true. I will dance on the tables with you till 2 in the morning. But
I mean, that's fair, actually.
And then I'll drive you home.
I swear to God, there's nothing like a lift.
I know. Especially
there's
nowadays.
Nothing like a lift that will attract you to somebody.
I know. That's what happened to me last night.
It's like a lift and a pension. They're the two things that will attract you to somebody. You'll be surprised how attracted you are to somebody.
It's good to get your priorities right when you get older. I'm not going to lie, Grode. Last night I was incredibly popular about 2 o'clock in the morning. Not so much like at, 11 o'clock. Yeah. But by 2 o'clock in the morning, they were thinking, because they're all giving, you have to have a drink. You have to have a drink until you say, would you like a lift? Oh, jeez, that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
But, the funny thing, it's only because, let's be honest, if you came to a gig of mine and I didn't bring the voice with me, you'd be raging.
Of course.
You'd be raging. Yeah, it's like absolutely. A plumber turning up without his tools. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, I had a great night last night. It was in the National Concert Hall. It was a really brilliant, brilliant thing for COVID care concerts. And I was
so tell us, what did you sing?
Well, I sang Cheek to Cheek from Top Hat. It was very classic, but it was with the orchestra, which I love singing with. Ah. And, it sounds very refined and all that. But I wore the good hurty shoes. I asked out on Instagram which shoes I should wear.
I saw, Neve, the Instagram game.
Did you like it?
Through the roof.
Did you like it?
Through the roof.
I know. I was thinking of you and I took the photos of the three and I knew exactly which ones they were going to put me in. The one that would torture me all night. And sure enough, but I mean, honestly, every single person asked me about those shoes. I didn't like to tell them they're 10 years old.
Your game is strong.
I know.
Your game is strong.
Tell me about your week.
What was I doing? I was filming this week, but it was weird. I had to cry. Yeah, I had to do a crying scene in the car.
Can you cry?
I didn't think I could, but when you have to, you have to.
Where did you go to? Did it actually do that?
You go to, yeah, I was in a very dark place for about 2 hours. Just like.
Is that in a tunnel?
Every time you did it, it was oh, there we go, that's done. They're now we're going to do it from this angle. You're going, sweet, good mother of God.
And are you an ugly crier?
Ugly. Yeah,
I love an ugly crier.
Yeah, tears falling. Yeah.
I believe that.
I find that ever since I'm very emotional.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like I'm crying at everything.
It's like when, when you haven't gone to the toilet all day and then you go and you break the seal, you have to go 50 times. Is that it?
That's exactly. I think it's just, it's the toilet mentality, but just through your eyes.
In your eyes?
In your eyes. Though I was showing emotion. And my feelings were not just locked inside.
That's enough now.
And I built a wall around me except it was a car. Ever since then, I'm really, really emotional about silly things. I keep having moments where I give the cat a treat and she just looks so grateful. I'm just oh my God.
My life is so complete.
She's just so perfect. So I don't know what's wrong with me because the way normally my demeanor is very much that of a, ruthless,
yes,
steely serial killer.
Yeah, in your head. Yeah.
It's very serial killer vibe.
Small bit
psychopathic. But now I feel I'm soft and accessible.
Oh, right, okay.
And I need to, I need to get my hard, cool exterior back.
Well, yeah, good luck with that. I must admit, I am a crier at TV.
Really?
Like 5 minutes into a movie, even I'm not invested in, if there's something that'll make me cry, I will.
Really?
I can cry at ads. I don't cry at life very much, but I am amazing to go to a movie with if you like somebody to be weeping unconsolably behind. Oh,
like, there's songs that always do it for me. Like Wind Beneath My Wings.
Oh, darling.
Whose
version?
Bette Midler.
Bette. Yeah, that's an age thing. Speaking of emotions, right? Next week, I'm going on the ferry over to Liverpool. Now, that sounds very exotic. I know, very weird. But I'm actually...
She got herself into trouble.
Believe me, I'm way past that. I'm actually going over to retrieve my eldest son, who's been living away for the last 2 years, and all his paraphernalia. And we're all going to be excited for that for at least 24 hours.
It's the prodigal son has returned.
He's moving back home.
Jack is coming home.
I'm very excited. I am actually quite emotional about it. I'm sure we'll all be over it very quickly. And luckily, I'm very busy at the beginning of July. It's just
like
about the
first,
time.
The first round of laundry.
And you'll just be like, it's over now. And the first lift.
the first late lift.
I know. Do you know, actually, I am. Because we've got used to just being the two of us. And now he's coming home. And I'm... Like, we're very excited about it and we're glad for him to come home. But I'm also aware that, you know, there is a point where you've moved out and you spent a couple of years away. It's quite an adjustment to come back. I don't want him to feel like he's going back to the child stage. He keeps telling me he's a changed man, which he'll be a very...
man, that's what you say when you need money.
Yeah. I'm a changed
man.
We're all
a changed man. I can't afford anything. That's what I'm changed.
If you could only just, you know, lend me that few... He's paid rent for 2 years. I think that's what's changed.
Yeah, that's exactly what's changed. I'll tell you what else has changed. His bedroom's now a diva's dressing room.
I know. Oh, I'm frantically trying to take stuff out. But
I hope you're comfortable on the couch, Jack, because there's a big purple Eurovision dress hanging from the ceiling. So this week...
Oh, yes.
What we're talking about is pride.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I have to say I'm really, really shocked because you were the one that suggested this episode.
I know, but I love pride.
I have to say, you are the queen of pride.
I love pride. And the first time...
But you didn't realise you were a gay icon for years.
No, I didn't. I just got invited to Pride 2010 on the steps of the Civic Buildings in, you know, down by Wood Quay.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll never forget it. I just finished the Eurovision again in 2010. Obviously, they had forgotten about 93. And they just invited me. And it was the first real time I was in that community in that way, if you understand. Yeah. And it was phenomenal. I absolutely loved it. Most years I do something around Pride, you know, and it's a choice. It's a thing I've done. I do the outing every few years and I do kind of different things and mostly around Ireland. I mean, I was living in Belfast for nearly, I don't know, 20, maybe 18 years before they actually asked me to do anything in Belfast. I feel like I'm 5 minutes down the road, lads. But I love being involved in it and I walk the Pride occasionally.
It is a lovely time. Like, I mean, it's a very nice thing to do because I always find that it's way more sedate in town than I think it's going to be. It's actually a lovely, it's not necessarily a party atmosphere. It's just a really
Atmosphere. It's an affirmation. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, I 1 year, myself and a good friend, Kevin, we walked the Pride and we had a lovely time. We were dandering back afterwards and just chatting about it. And I stopped at these lights, you know, outside Green's Bookshop. I'll never forget it. And, you know, I'd gone through like an entire parade with nobody making a big fuss. And then I was standing at these lights and this poor man nearly fell off his bike.
But it should be like, that's the way it should be at Pride. Yeah. It should be like, you know, you just get to see a Eurovision winner at the, like,
yeah,
crossing
but
the street.
Seven of us here, so
yeah, I mean, the odds are you will run into one. I think I remember the first time I ever went to Pride was I went with one of my friends. The first person I ever saw perform at Pride was, do you remember Tina Cousins? She had that song, Pray for Dun 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 Dun. She was kind of like a dance performer. She had Pray and Killing Time and...
No matter how many things you're throwing at me here, nothing has happened.
I'd say you'd know her. You'd know her if you heard...
Tell me she was wearing a blue jumper and I'll probably remember.
Yeah. But she was performing and What I always remember about it was she had to keep getting them to take her CD out and wipe it because there were scratches on her backing tracks. And I was just like, Tina.
Like, that's a rookie mistake.
She kept saying, just take it out and wipe it, babe. I was like, Tina, no.
I know.
Pride.
I know, this is pride. Have a bit of pride.
Exactly.
Thank God for the USB sticks.
I know.
Yeah. Or emailing tracks beforehand.
Yeah.
But actually, it was amazing.
Oh my God, I can't remember. It would have been, God, I would have been, I don't know, like I was probably about 26 or 27.
You remember that far back? Sorry.
And in Pride Month, Niamh.
I know. I am proud of you.
You address the age of your gay friend.
I know.
What a hate crime.
But it is very life affirming. And actually for me, I love to share it with my friends. And I like to show that I love who they are, and not just for who they are. It's not, sexuality is not a thing that you have to, you know, declare. I think people are nervous of that, in the sense that they feel that you have to declare everything. It's like coming through customs now. You have to declare everything.
But I know.
But actually, I think it's because if you spend a long time looking to be acknowledged or being, you know, behind and not actually admitting who you are, you do want to tell the world who you are. And why shouldn't you?
Absolutely,
you
know, yeah.
And you should have the right to live your life in a way that is beautiful and inclusive.
Well, I always say that pride is about, it's a time when you should remember, you know, that not everyone's doing as well as you are.
Yeah.
Because if you're at Pride,
you're already in a good place.
Yeah, you're in a good place. Mm-hmm. I think if you're someone that in yourself, whether you're out to people or what, but if you are out enough to yourself that you can go out to a Pride event, you're in a better place than a lot of other people.
But very true.
And it's worth remembering that, you know, that there are people around you that need a leg up.
Yeah. Like,
so,
yeah.
You know,
and they need to see
if you
that.
Can give that leg up, give it because it's...
I know. It's
hard.
It's an important thing to give a safe environment to anybody who needs some space.
Yeah, completely.
But yeah, no, I love Pride Month, and I love it's a whole month now for me. You know, it's like,
to
be fair, all year can be Pride for me if I want it. But
yeah, I know, yeah. You know.
But actually, I do. I love it. And I love the community so much because they are so fabulous. I mean, and, you know, they're not all in love with me. It's not that. It's more the fact that they have great sense of humor, but they have sensitivity and they have... That sometimes the act of coming out sometimes even forces them into a much bigger level of creativity sometimes, you know, as a person.
Oh, thank you, Niamh.
Not you. No, I'm not joking. No, but it is true. It is true.
What was your favourite Pride?
I'm not sure. I have many memories of Pride. I you know, because obviously over the last couple of years I did it kind of online. I mean, I laughed because the first time they asked me to do it, it was kind of early days of Zoom, and I videoed myself singing True Colours and sent it, and it was shown on RTE, and I was thinking I looked like some Elwyn sitting in a seat. And everybody else was, I mean, I'm always very aware that if at any Pride event I will be the least glamorous person there, because you know, there's always people, except the Bears event. I love the Bears events because they're all hairier than me.
Yeah.
if I attend to myself. But you know.
Now, also, because we're doing a Pride episode this week, we thought we would ask you for your memories of Pride, and we got some answers in. This will be my first proper Pride, and I'm really excited about it, but not as excited as my mum. She has decorated the house, and she is ready to party.
Oh, that's so lovely.
That's from Rebecca. Oh,
yeah,
that's very
Rebecca,
sweet.
That's really, really lovely. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, being inclusive and all
that.
Yeah, you know, I think I would definitely throw a party. There's no doubt.
Absolutely.
About it. I know. Maybe I should anyway, even if my children... Oh, no, my son's home next week. I can't.
Things are going to change now, Niamh.
I know.
Yeah, you need to rein it. There'll be no more partying until 2 o'clock in the morning in the National Concert Hall. There's a son at home and he expects you in that door at 10 o'clock. As long as you're going to live under his roof.
Tragically true. I know. I am 57, and every Pride I take a moment to remember how far we've come, but also how much more we have to do. It's a time to lift each other up, and thanks for the laughs. Mick, thank you so much. You're right. Actually, that's a really lovely way to put it, but it is absolutely that.
Absolutely. I think it's definitely a time when you have to remember people less fortunate than yourself. Because there's so much of it around. And, and the slightest help in hand.
Yeah, it is true. A lot of people struggle with it and they feel alone. And you don't really want that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if they were alone for any other reason, you'd be all over that like a cheap suit.
Of course.
I don't see why you would not be involved in this. So Sandra says, my brother came out to me when he was 16. My brother came out to me when he was 16 and I was 18, and I haven't missed a Pride since. So that's really lovely. It's really lovely. I mean, you know, it's lovely when you go, and actually I love when I go to Pride with somebody I love, you know, and we're walking, and I mean, Pride is all year. In my head, Pride is all year. I know this is the time we highlight it, but there's never a time when you shouldn't be proud of who you're with and who you love. And that's it, really. That's so true for everybody. Sorry, that's I'm off my box now.
Oh, Niamh, I told you I was emotional this week.
I know, it was very emotional. So we're going to stop for a moment now to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. And if you'd like to support our show and all the shows on Head Stuff, then you can become a member for as little as €5 a month. And in return, you will get bonus content from us. And that isn't necessarily photographs of Garode and all of the shows across the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
But it could be, depending on how much you pledge.
The show we're cross-promoting this week is called Phoning It In. Now, it says here that it's Liveline meets The Goon Show. I have a little bit of a problem with this because I'm a huge Goon fan, you know.
It set the bar high for Niamh.
You know, Spike Milligan, you know.
Well, it does deliver it. Now, I have to say, it's pretty good.
You know, no pressure, lads.
No pressure.
You better be really good. And so they kind of ring in for and they kind of improv a complaint.
But what happens is a comedian rings in and they find out what they're there to complain about.
So it's like Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Absolutely hilarious.
That kind of idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, listen, brilliant. I'm all over that like a cheap suit. Come on, bring it on.
Well, here's a clip. Have a listen and see what you think.
Phoning It In is back. Hello, my name is Dave Coffey and I'm the host of Phoning It In, the hilarious improvised phone-in show. Think Joe Duffy meets your favourite Irish comedians. Our first episode back is already out and features the Young Hot Guys, Tony Cantwell, Shane Dan Byrne and Killian Sunderman. This season we'll also have lots of bonus material available on Head Stuff Plus, including new improv-style games with all your favourite guests. Phoning It In is available every fortnight wherever you get your podcasts and on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Thanks for listening.
Ordinarily, it's just me and Niamh and our expertise that is guiding our listeners through their crisis.
Yeah, God help them.
But because it's our special Pride episode, we thought what we would do is we would bring in essentially some A-gays. I'm well aware I'm not an A-gay. Like... clothes need to get better. There's a lot more self-care that needs to go into it. So what I thought we'd do is we would talk to Sissy That Pod.
Oh, fab.
If you don't know Sissy That Pod, it is a RuPaul's Drag Race reaction podcast.
Love it.
It is pretty brilliant. It's basically it's all we can dream to be.
Pretty and brilliant, or just pretty brilliant?
They're very pretty and they're very brilliant, both of them. So we're joined by Keane and James because Niamh refused to meet them. She's like, I'm not meeting a couple of gays around Pride.
No. Oh,
it all gets a bit much for me.
Even off camera here. Even off camera. I can't even see her.
She's like, I'm sick of middle-aged men fainting in front of me. I've had enough now.
No, I love it. I come home from events and my husband always asks me, well, how did it go? And I'd say, well, I had 4 screamers, 2 fainters. I keep a tally. I have like a board.
Can you tell when you see them that they're like, that's a fender?
Oh no, well, you know, actually funny, you do have little indications of what level of hysteria. Occasionally somebody really freaks you out because they're out of character, but I have a pretty good dar for all levels of gay. Yeah, definitely not an A-gay, you. But I'm just you know, I just
but that's why she talks to her friends.
I know. Deep down, I seem very nice in general. If you meet me out as a national treasure when I'm wearing that hat.
Oh, so, oh, she's lovely. Have a selfie.
Very tolerant. Not now.
And what do you want to talk to me about? Oh, the B-side of the Lithuanian entry from 1987. Let's have a conversation. I'd love to chat about it.
No, sit down. Listen, last night I met the man who did the risk assessment for the insurance company for the Eurovision Song Contest in Mill Street. And he kept me for 10 minutes telling me how wonderful that was.
I have to say now, I in my day job work with LGBT Ireland, and I'm spending this entire month going around corporate organisations giving talks about the gay rights movement in Ireland and the importance of using the appropriate terminology and allyship. And actually, I'm using your victory in Eurovision as a key pillar of that, because I don't know if you're aware that actually you won in the same year as decriminalisation of homosexuality here in Ireland. You actually made gays okay.
Thanks for that, James. Thanks.
So What was in your eyes was homosexuality.
It's exactly what we needed now to have a balanced recording.
Tell me I made that happen. Tell me I made that up. I cannot get over that. I can't. That's like a moment of amazingness for me. 1993. That's it. That's
clearly what happened. Somebody in government just thought, fuck it, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Listen. Is there a certificate? We joke, I want a certificate.
But that's what happened
that.
In Azerbaijan. I know. Right? After Azerbaijan won, they decriminalized homosexuality.
That is correct.
So, I mean.
Yeah, no, that is correct. I mean, it is a phenomenal thing.
So you both just come in really and just knock that apple cart over and we should be done by 10, if that's okay.
You have no idea that you've just given me my best prize. I thought this was not going to be my cast. I'm very excited to see you, lads, and I'm really looking forward to some time when we can all be in the room together, despite what Garode says. No, I'm not going to have that. Actually, do you know what? Maybe we should just have a moment. Garode clearly doesn't want to be here. Yeah.
I'll just produce from the back.
Just like, you can be the Roz. Just keep it to Niamh Fraser.
Yeah, exactly. That. I'm well aware of my place. Oh, well aware. So what we thought we'd do is we'd get you to give us like a little bit of input into solving a pride problem, because we weren't sure we'd have a pride problem, and then it turns out we had a couple.
Yeah. I know. And actually I like this one, because this one is from the mammy's point of view, and you always think of me as the mammy despite the fact that I'm still young. Here's a pride question for you. I'm pretty certain that my son is gay. He is 16 and we have never talked about whether he is or isn't, and he has never addressed it with me. I'm feeling the pressure to get it right first time with him, and I want to be prepared and make sure I give him what he needs from me in the event that he does come out. I think of it every year around Pride. Any and all advice welcome. So there's no name as usual, and thank God you didn't write it down, because I always say the name when I shouldn't.
Yeah, it was very good this week. I put in Anon.
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 Okay.
Usually they say I want to be anonymous, and that I put in like their Instagram handle.
This is an interesting question for me, because I raised boys. I have two boys, right? And when they were growing up, I used to always say to them, you know, when you have this girlfriend or boyfriend, and they got to the point where they say, Mother, please stop saying that to us now. You know, we know it's okay. But I don't know whether I was actually putting that out there as in the hopes that one of them would be, so I wouldn't end up in a home. I don't know.
I love, like, as a Eurovision winner, like, your kids are like, I think it might be Grant. We know what's putting me through school here.
We've seen all those men faint in Tesco's. We know it's fine.
Yes, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I know.
From what I understand, what they say is, if you're a parent and you think your child is not straight, is not to ask them, because they might not be ready to tell you. Mm. They might not have told themselves, like, they're not be comfortable in themselves yet to accept it. And then if you ask them and they've told you no, and then they realize they are gay, then they kind of have to go, oh, I'm gay, and I kind of lied before, and it sort of muddies the water. Mm. So I think, like, just be open in your support to the community, you know, maybe get engaged in Pride events, maybe go to the local parade, just put it out there, kind of like what you were saying, Niamh, that they should know that there's no problem with it, and they'll get around to it when they have a chance.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, actually. That's a really big
thing.
It's
kind of just take away the fear.
I don't think it's your job to actually out anybody. You know,
it absolutely isn't.
Yeah.
And I think so. I would completely agree with what Cian is saying there. I think it's really important to be really a visible ally if you feel like because not only like, even if then your child is not a member of the community, you're modeling really positive behavior for them of being welcoming and opening to LGBTQ people if they meet them within their everyday lives. I mean, I think I saw they did a pride in Fingal and Swords there about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and there might have been maybe one homosexual at the thing. The rest was all sort of families, and I think it's very important, you know, as much as you might kind of be like, oh God, well, you know, where are the gays, it's still important that you're seeing these faces and that allies are being really kind of part of it, because it's setting that behavior and that creating that model for people. I do think it's important not to, like, actively, you know, push at the child, try and get them to come out because you want to know. It's great that you want to be an ally and be a support. And if you really need to talk to someone, the National LGBT Helpline is actually there for parents as well. A lot of people who contact the National LGBT Helpline are parents of people who are wondering how to react. So you can actually talk to a volunteer who'll be able to kind of give you some support. But basically, if you're worrying about this and you're thinking about it and you just want to show your child you love them, you're already doing it right.
Yeah, that's very true, actually.
And also, I think one of the things that I always think is good to remember if you're a parent is that the reason that somebody isn't coming out is not necessarily you. I know they probably put themselves in the place of as this big barrier, and you know, if they tell me, once they tell me, it's all fine. But that's probably not necessarily the case, because I mean, coming out, I think, is difficult no matter how easy it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like, even especially when you're 16, if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, you don't want your parents to know. Like, at that point, you're really trying to drive the wedge between your life and your parents.
It's true, actually, because I even growing up, I was laughing because I'm obviously much older than everybody else in this room. And the thing is, we didn't really talk about stuff when we were young. We didn't talk about sexuality, for sure, because you didn't even want to be seeing somebody else kiss each other on the TV in front of you of any orientation. You didn't discuss anything. And to be honest, I think it took me a long time to tell my parents I was going to be a singer. That was a hard job for them.
Oh, yeah. In an Irish family, like,
it wasn't a real job. Like, keep a good job in the bank, Neil.
Coming out is, I'm not going into the civil service.
No.
Gay is a walk in the park and break working in the arts.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I'm going to be a singer or a comedian. Yeah. Oh, but what about the shame?
I know. But I don't think you should push anybody into any box anywhere. But I mean, you know, it's just, it's kind of difficult because you're trying, as a parent, I have to say, I spend a lot of time second guessing whether I've done the right thing at any given moment. And I've learned something very recently because I asked my eldest boy, basically, what's your memory of me as a mother? And I think I might have said this before. And basically, all he could remember was the fact that I didn't let him have Grand Theft Auto when he wasn't old enough. And I put a lot of thought in as a parent, how I would discuss things with him. But actually,
the real punch in the face was in the Eurovision in 2010.
Nothing. He had no memory of nothing like after that. And I think it's really nice that, you know, in some ways it's great because he just sailing through his youth whatever way he thinks. He's not affected. They're more affected by you than you think from your behaviour, not necessarily what you talk about. It's the environment, and you just have to have faith in that. I think
it's so hard to be a parent. And I think also
know this is like from your cat, is it?
she's not easy, Niamh. She's not easy.
She's more demanding than expectations. My boys, yeah.
But I think if you're a parent looking at the world at the moment, like, what you're seeing is, you know, it's great to be gay at the moment, but all you're seeing is like these imminent threats everywhere. I definitely even think in Ireland that there's kind of is this feeling that, oh, everything was fine. There's marriage equality now. Everything's grand. But then, you know, you've got stuff like what was happening during the week, you know, with the Joe Duffy show. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, good God.
Yes.
Like,
I know.
Yeah.
We think we're more enlightened than we are because we live in maybe in the metropolis or whatever. But, you know, the thing is, it's not true across the board. I mean, I think the biggest struggle I had originally when I got involved in the LGBTQ community was understanding how to address people. That is a big deal, you know, because you want to get it right for people, you know, and you want to get it right for how they feel about themselves. And it's not an easy thing to, it wasn't an easy thing to educate yourself in when I started. So I just blatantly ask people.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to do that. And I think it's okay to make mistakes as well.
That's kind of that's the right approach. And as long as you're coming from a place of wanting to educate yourself and being open and actually wanting to be compassionate and figure out how a person wants to identify and respecting that, that's really important. I think a lot of the conversations you've seen recently is from people who are second guessing or telling people that they shouldn't be allowed to identify in a particular way, or making assumptions about the fact that we've come further than we have and that people should stop asking for more, almost. Like, there's a sense of kind of, as we continue on post-marriage equality, like, come on now, gays, you've had your day, you know, stop, sit back down. Whereas in fact, we are seeing kind of increase in discrimination towards the community, and perhaps talking more about that and more people being outright and just saying, like, I'm going to be a really proactive ally to make sure that people around me know that they're included, and people who would maybe exclude the gay people know that I'm not the person to do that around.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, well, I do that a lot, I have to say. I don't tolerate it at all. I have no time for that kind of general sense. I understand previous generations of us would struggle a little bit, but then they struggle with diversity of any kind because it just didn't exist
in
their heads.
They also struggled with the video recorder.
They did. They
but did. They got it in the end.
To be fair.
And I think sometimes with like social media landscape, there could be a lot of people who take no prisoners, yeah. And it's like, oh, you misgendered me once, you're cancelled. But like in the vast majority of cases, people are perfectly fine if you make a mistake once you're open to being corrected, yeah. And saying, well, did I get that right? Or let me know if I'm saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, I think it is definitely much about that. And I think as a parent, I'm loving this woman coming and asking this question because she's proactive about it and she wants to do the right thing. But there's no, as she says, he hasn't actually addressed it with her. You know, I mean, you never addressed it with me until, you know, you...
No.
You know.
No, I was 19 years of age sitting on the Eurovision winner's step saying, I'm not sure I'm really into my girlfriend. And he was like, really? I wonder why that could be.
His posters were like me and Sunita on his wall. So I kind of felt...
It was Sonia, me. Oh, you Sonia. Need to it accept wasn't, it. It was Sonia.
It wasn't Sonia. There's no way I'm not having it. But I just, you know, it's funny, actually. You know, even if you accept that that is the case, it's not your job to tell people.
Yeah,
who they
yeah.
Are. It is just isn't. No.
And it's also it's so lovely, and I think it's so. I think what's going to be great about this is that if or when he does come out, and if he doesn't, maybe he's straight, whatever.
Yeah, you never know.
You're going to have a lovely conversation about this.
Yeah.
In 10 years' time.
Yeah, and then you're going to play it in the podcast if we're still alive. Yeah.
No, we'll probably be cancelled.
And also, there shouldn't be. I can imagine from the mum's point of view, like checking the watch, being like, oh, well, they're 18, they haven't come out. Like, this is something that they'll do at their own time and their own pace. Yeah. So don't rush them.
And do you, can we ask about your coming out stories? Keane, we go first with you because you're pressed for time.
Yeah. So I came out when I was 19. And I was kind of decided I was going to wait until I had a partner to come out because I just figured it would be easier to say I have a boyfriend that I was gay. So I was with a guy for about 4 months and I just came out around the dinner table and they weren't really that surprised.
Really?
That's really
this
cute.
This is lovely pork, isn't it?
And Keane said, yeah.
But that's really nice, Keane.
That's actually. Really sweet.
Yeah, it is really nice. I kind of get why people do that, you know, if they wait in case they might get asked the question, how do you know? Like,
I know, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the stupidest question I ever heard.
Exactly, yeah. So just trust me.
Yeah.
And James, what about your coming out? What was that like?
So I came out when I was 18, which was actually like 22 years ago this year, which is disgracefully long ago. Sadly, there was no other homosexuals around for me to get into like a relationship of convenience for demonstrative process.
Wow.
The only gay in the village. You were actually the only gay in the village, is that
exactly? Yeah, the only gay in the county at that stage. But no, so I like obviously I'd known that I was that I was sort of different, and it was only when I started seeing stuff on TV and particularly Queer as Folk, which myself and Keane have talked about on different podcasts about how important it was seeing like, oh my god, there's a life I could have. I understand what's going on now. And eventually, like, I had the conversation with my mother, and it was this really sort of dragged out, stressful kind of conversation for me. But the minute I got it out and said, oh, I think I'm gay, she was like, oh, for God's sake, I've known for years. And it just completely evaporated any of the stress that I had.
Yeah, I know. But
so sweet. It's Mammy's like just anything. Make it easy.
I know. Hello. Mm.
Yeah.
I know, but actually, it's funny. I think that's the same for experience for anybody when they're young or anybody's holding in stuff. I think when it's always bigger if you hold it in. I think sometimes you do have to have the conversation, but you have to be ready for it. Yeah. Oh my God, I think I might adopt all of you. Maybe not you, but
so harsh.
I know. I feel assured.
And she's
of your
lovely
love.
When there's no one else here. That's the problem. As soon as she gets options, it's just it's pure aggression.
And James, did you tell your extended family? Did you have to come out to all them? Because what I did is when I came out, as I said, right, I've told you, you disseminated through the whole family because I didn't want to be coming out to every uncle and aunt until I saw them.
That's not necessary.
I wanted done in one go.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think actually that's an important part of being gay that maybe the straight community aren't aware of is that you were always coming out every time you go into a new room. And it can get exhausting. So yeah, I told like my cousins that I was close to. I told obviously my brother and my parents. And then after that, I just trusted word would get around. So that being said, considering I'd spent my childhood in drag as Miss Piggy, I don't think it came like as an overly big shock to my aunts.
You see what I mean about them being better gays?
You are now my favourite person on the planet. I have the original album of The Muppet Show. I only let my children watch The Muppet Show when they were young. They weren't allowed to watch any of that Barney rubbish. And honestly, like, now, that's it. You and me, we'll discuss Miss Piggy later.
Whole episode of Miss Piggy.
We're taking Miss Piggy
content.
Offline.
Thanks
so much, lads.
Thank you.
It was great chatting to you.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you
so much for having us.
Yeah, and we'll definitely do it again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was going to say something brilliant at the end, and I can't remember what it was. We'll just punch it in. I'll use your laugh from earlier.
I'm here for them, for you and Garou doing Miss Piggy and Kermit at the live show. There we go. It'll be perfect.
So now the question rainbow is connection. Oh, please.
Oh, the rainbow connection.
Yeah.
So who's going to be who?
This is very exciting. Now that's the bonus
halfway
content.
Up the stairs.
I sang that when I was very young. I loved it. Stairs. Yeah, but I wasn't Kermit himself. It was the young flip, whatever his name was. I can't remember. I'm old. I'm old and menopausal. I can't remember everything.
Yeah. But so in final summation, we can say that our writer is a fantastic woman.
Yeah, she is.
And a brilliant mother.
Yeah.
And like, just what a lucky son.
Yeah. And allow the space. Allow the space. That's
it. Give the space.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you very much. Hi, Niamh and Garou. This is a weird one. I'm thinking of coming out to my family. I've been out to my friends for a very long time. I'm very happy in my life, but I don't have a partner as it has never worked out. I always hoped that when I came out to them, I'd be a bit more settled, but that is not how it has worked out. I'm thinking of coming out this year. My parents are getting on and it would be nice not to worry about it. I'm pretty certain they know. We've had many awkward moments, including my mother overhearing me talk about normal people on the phone and saying Paul Mescal was a babe. She laughed and said, I didn't hear anything. I know it's weird. They totally know, but I don't know how to do it. And that's an anonymous one.
Yeah. Well, no.
I think this is something that can so easily happen to anybody.
Yeah.
About anything, to be honest with you.
Oh, I know.
Not just about, you like, there's so many things in our lives that they're just the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And they know already, and by the sounds of things, you totally have their support as well. Like your mom, she knows, she laughed. She wasn't appalled. She didn't run away out of the room. She didn't cry when she heard you talking about Paul Mescal. And you're 100% right, he is a babe.
He is a babe, but that chain, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Never a truer word spoken.
You know,
the Connell chain, no.
Paul, if you're listening to me, you know.
Lose the chain, Paul.
Gorgeous boy, but you have kicked off a thing in my son that I look at every day and go, I'll kill him.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think my son found it harder to come out with the fact that he was wearing a chain.
Yeah, well, by the sounds of things.
No,
I can just imagine you saying, well, you better be gay to make up for this.
I think, to be fair, do you want to come out? If you want, I think you say you're thinking of coming out. Do you feel it's something that really has to be such a definitive thing? Is it, you know?
Well, I'd say it sounds like what he's thinking here is that there is this thing that's getting in the way in his relationship with his parents.
Yeah.
And he knows about it and they know about it, and it would just be easier for everyone
if it was just said.
If he could just articulate it. And I think even the way you're writing this, you know that you have their support and you know that it'll be okay, and you know that they probably know. And like, that is the case, I think, it particularly mothers, definitely.
Yeah.
I think even when you know, as like kids get older and there's never been a girlfriend or, you know, but it's the elephant in the room, and you just need a way to get through this. And I think as soon as you start this conversation, I don't think there's going to be, I think you're going to find the words, and I think your mother is expecting this conversation.
Yeah, and she probably doesn't, and like that, she probably doesn't want to bring it up because it's not her place to do it.
Of course, yeah.
It's not, it's not an easy thing.
And she wants to give you space as well.
Yeah, she does. I know it's difficult, but I think if you feel that you want to, there'll be a moment where it feels natural. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and it's a decision. I think it's a decision where you go, you know what, I'm going to go over today. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get this done. Now, Baron, you go over and she's, you know, demented because the box didn't record Coronation Street or something. You're just like, you know what, this isn't the day.
Yeah, no. Pick a day. Pick a day where she's maybe, you know.
Even take her out for lunch or something and just go, I'm just going to do this because. Yeah,
I know. I think actually that's a really nice idea, because in my house, I try to resolve things before they happen. So what I often do is I say things like, is there anything on your mind? You know, when we're chilled.
Yeah.
You know, so we might be having dinner, or maybe when the kids are small, I might have gone in, you know, of an evening when they were saying goodnight to them and say, how are you feeling? Everything okay? You happy with how things are going? And they used to hate it. They roll their eyes in heaven. But it always brought something out. So actually being in a calm place, not waiting until it's a pivotal moment, I think that adds pressure to it. I think it's okay. Why don't you bring your mum out separately first and say, Mum, or if you feel happy about the two of them, bring them out for, or not bring them out. Maybe just sit and go, you know, rather than say sit down, you need to be sitting down for this, but just actually have a lovely conversation. Yeah. Because if you're living there, I don't know if you're living there or whatever, but I mean, the thing is, it's just nice to be in a position where it's not a big momentous thing. It doesn't have to be. I mean, I'll speak for you, but the thing is,
yeah,
it is a very natural thing. And people who love you, they want that to be the case.
Yeah, people that love you, they want you to, I guess, get on with your life. And, you know, like you say there, it's never worked out with a partner.
Yeah.
And this isn't about blame or anything like that. But what I would say is, don't underestimate in your own head the obstacle that you've put in place to relationships about not being
out. By not being open about who you are.
Because as soon as you're happy and in a relationship, it forces, I guess, you're at a pinch point with coming out to your parents, because that's just the way it is. Like, if you're with somebody, then all of a sudden you're hiding this big part of your life. But when you're not with somebody, you're not hiding. So just don't underestimate the obstacle that it is in your life.
Yeah,
and also, this is going to be such a lovely way to just get over it and to be able to talk freely with them. I mean, look, we could be teaching Granny to suck eggs here, because if you're thinking of coming out, you probably know this.
Yeah.
But as regards how to do it,
yeah,
I definitely think that this should be a moment that you take. Like, I think you think about this moment and you plan how it's going to be. Like it's an event.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to make a cup of tea, I'm going to have nice biscuits, and I'm going to settle in for a conversation that, even no matter how uncomfortable I feel about it, my goal here is to have this conversation.
Yeah.
And to do it your way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't want it to get to a point where it's so big, it becomes like a real problem, and then you kind of explode into it. And by the way, I'm gay. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. and it shouldn't end in a row. And also, the reaction, like, it will be an emotional reaction.
It will,
like, it will be emotional for you, definitely. And it might be emotional for them.
Oh, it will be, but not necessarily a bad one.
No. But I would say when you're telling them, put like a few supports in place. Tell your friends that you're telling them.
Yeah.
Have something arranged afterwards. Like, go.
So you,
like,
can
when you leave, so you can decompress. Go, you know, just to make sure that you have a bit of support. Because again, like, it may be lovely, but it may be bumpy. There may be a couple of bumps, and you know, they are not your bumps.
No.
They're bumps, and it's for them to get over.
And give them time to do that.
And give them, there may need to be a bit of forgiveness. I just think, keep a level head, put yourself first.
And be sure, you know, you understand that what you're telling them is a lovely thing.
You're just revealing the real you.
Yeah, it is a lovely thing. And so please don't ever underestimate that.
Of course.
I mean, it's not your responsibility for them to feel how they feel. They have to sort that out, and they will.
They absolutely will. And if your mom overheard you talking about Paul Mescal,
she already knows.
Yeah.
They've already had that conversation.
And she said, I didn't hear anything.
They've already had that conversation.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
The gate is wide open for you to have this conversation with her anyway. We don't know about the father.
No, we don't. But you know, solve it.
And tell your friends, because, you know, It's good to have them around for
all.
They
could have a large G&T ready for you.
Exactly. And you know what? Pat yourself on the back for even thinking of doing this, because it's so much work. You don't realise. It's just so much work.
I suppose, you know, for a lot of us, we take for granted the fact that, you know, because our sexuality is, I won't say the dominant one, but the one that is mostly acceptable.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if that's the right way to say that. But the point is, because that's like the given when you're starting out, if you happen to be on that path, that's grand, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you ever really think about. But I don't think that people in my orientation often have an easy ride of it either. And sometimes they have to come out. I mean, you know, I know, for instance, people who have come up against problems in their relationship and they don't even have to address that with their parents. So it's a similar thing. It's always difficult, but you know, at a certain age, you're not there for to live your life for your parents. You're there to live your life, and at every age, really. But you know, the thing is, I think you should accept that they really all they want is to know that you're happy and safe.
And one of the biggest obstacles in coming out is you're having to acknowledge to your parents that sex actually happens.
I know,
which
none of us want to be thinking about.
I mean, I remember when I came out, like I didn't. My mom was really instrumental in me coming out because she was just like
enough already.
Yeah, essentially. Like it was, there was a white chocolate bunny in my room for Easter, like a white chocolate Easter bunny.
And is that cold?
My mum asked me where I got it. And I was like, oh, I got it from like my friend. And she went, now come here. Straight men don't buy each other white chocolate bunnies. Let's have a conversation.
Okay.
And that was that.
I know. It's true. But you know, it is a lovely thing that you're thinking. And we would love an update.
Yes, we'd love an update.
I mean, no pressure Please on when that happens. You know,
yeah, no pressure, but when it does.
We would love an update.
We're absolutely here for you, and loads of people are.
Yeah, but listen, what a lovely, lovely programme. I like talking about it because it's so much part of our lives.
I know.
And our friendship so over the years, you know. Yeah. And I just think it's lovely to talk about it in a way that is just us, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, it's been lovely.
I know. We're just going to have a little cry out in the corner.
I feel like I'm going to be bawling after this.
I have the rest of that chocolate cookie I bought this morning. I'm going to eat that.
I'm going to put on Wimby my wings now and sob.
Did you ever know?
Oh, stop. Niamh, I have news. Dawn.
Oh, the driving test.
The driving test. Lads, I passed. Dawn, congratulations.
We're so chuffed for you.
Lads, I passed. I'm so happy. Thanks so much for the tips and for the laughs. I listened again in the waiting room and you will be impressed. I was the ice queen. Amazing. Calm and composed, don't you know? I'm very happy. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Oh, Dawn.
Dawn. Oh, that's absolutely amazing. I'd say she's super confident now. She's careering. Careering down the hard shoulder.
We always say we helped, but actually,
I feel like we did.
We did.
We did.
That's confirmation.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Being a parent can be really challenging. Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today. Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.